أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم إلى الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. This evening for session number four, as we've been going through Surah Luqman, we're going to get to more of a contentious topic this evening. And today and tomorrow we'll have a continuation in our discussion. Obviously, the Quran doesn't shy away from topics which it has to speak about. Many times the Quran touches on very sensitive issues of gender relations, for example. Quran talks about human interaction on a whole between human beings of various cultures and religions. And sometimes Allah, when He demands and the need is there in the Quran, He mentions things that sometimes we may not think about or we may not, you know, feel comfortable speaking about. Tonight's discussion is not really one of those, but it is a topic which many people have always wondered what the Islamic ruling is. And I do submit that in 30 minutes or 20 minutes tonight, it's going to be impossible to cover the entire scope over the discussion tonight. But at least I want to open up the discussion, open up the verses of the Quran that we have and the opinion of our scholars on this contentious topic about music within Islam. You know, when you look in the Muslim tradition, you don't have a lot of topics that garnish so much of a discussion and debate as music does. Is this haram? Is this halal? What are the limits of music? Where does the Islamic jurisprudence fall into this topic? Tonight we just want to look at one verse, as is mentioned in Surah Luqman, and the opinion of Ayatollah Sistani on this topic, and also to give us some points of reference from this particular verse. And then as we continue tomorrow evening, inshallah, we'll go into a further detail on some of the topics related to music. First off, let me mention off the top of the hat that if you ask anybody, any scholar, is there a verse of the Quran that says music is haram? You will come with a response that no. There is not a single verse in the Quran which Allah says music is haram. Those words don't exist in the Quran. But as I've mentioned in the past, and I repeat again, that just because something is not expressly mentioned in the Quran, that doesn't mean that it's not a part of our religion. And I've given the example before, when a Muslim passes away, we wash them with three kinds of ghusl, three ghusls we perform. We do the camphor, we do the kafan, we bury them facing Mecca. But that is nowhere in the Quran. But yet, when you look at every Muslim who passes away, including the funeral for Muhammad Ali the other day, every single Muslim, doesn't matter if you're in Indonesia or India or Canada, we are all buried in the exact same fashion. But that's not a Quranic verse, right? So the point being is that we have to get out of this fixation, the show me a verse and I'll believe in it, right? Because not everything is mentioned in detail in the Quran. The Quran contains the general rulings, and then Allah let the Prophet explain the Quran through his life and his example, which is why we have the Sunnah that we follow today. So if you were to say, where in the Quran does it say music is haram? I'll tell you that there is no verse that says music is haram. But in Surah Luqman, in verse number 6, Allah gives forth this particular passage, where He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَحْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُذِلَّ النَّاسَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لِيُذِلَّ النَّاسَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُحِينٌ. Among the people is he who buys diversionary talk, that he may lead people astray from God's way without any knowledge. And he takes it, meaning the Quran, for a joke. For such an individual, there is a humiliating punishment. Now this verse, let me just give you the history behind its revelation. Because we know that the verses of the Quran came down to the Prophet to discuss things that were happening in his particular era. So there was an individual in Mecca by the name of Nadhr ibn Harith. He was an individual who was not a Muslim. He was a businessman, he was a trader. And on his trip, well, first of all, he was in Mecca and he hears these verses of the Quran coming to Rasulullah about Ad, about Thamud, about the people of Lut, all these previous generations. He, being a trader, a businessman, goes to Iran for business, for commerce. And when he's there, he learns the stories of ancient Persian civilization, you know, the romance novels, the stories that they used to tell about Rustam and all of these, you know, mythical individuals who, you know, were built upon Persian culture. So he collected all of these stories and he came back to Mecca. And what he would do is when Rasulullah would be teaching the Quran, teaching lessons of the Quran which had a moral value and which were much more greater than just traditional stories that you and I know of, he began to mock the Prophet and make fun of Islam. And he would tell the people that if this man Muhammad is bringing you stories of Ad and Thamud, I'm bringing you stories of ancient Persian civilization. So he wanted to dissuade people, to move people away from the path of Allah, not through music, but through what Allah calls lahwul hadith, this diversionary talk, something which will detract you from the message. And so this is where this verse comes into being, where Allah says that there are people who use this diversionary talk, where they want people to not pay attention to the real message, and so they'll throw their own little two cents in, whether it's stories, whether it's, you know, dramas, whether they be from Bollywood or Hollywood, what we see even on TV here today, all of these Indian dramas that are on television, or whether it be, you know, mass entertainment with the music industry and Hollywood as it is, and anything that really puts us and that, you know, diverts us from the remembrance of Allah and takes the message of Islam, the message of Allah's teachings as a joke and as something just that is, you know, something to play around with. So this is one of the verses which scholars, and not only our scholars, even the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, that they used when they talked about forbidden forms of music, that they equated that with things that will really distance us from the path of Allah. Because ultimately, when you look at the music industry today and entertainment on a whole, it's not about remembering Allah. It's not about remembering God. It's about enjoyment, pleasure in the here and the now. Right? Even those that might speak about Allah in their lyrics, it's still about themselves, about entertainment, about having fun in life. And so this is one of the general verses that we see in the Quran about the concept and this topic of music. But as I said, that you can't say that this verse only refers to that. It can refer to anything which will detract us from our goal in life. But with that said, what is the Islamic response about music? Is everything haram? Because sometimes you hear this, everything that sounds good is haram. Anything you want to listen to, you ask the Mawlana, that's haram, that's haram, that's haram. As if he's got a little, you know, rubber stamp, just stamping everything haram. And that's also not a reality, right? We have to be realistic about Islam. Everything is not haram, nor is everything halal. There is a middle area where there are certain things which are permissible and certain things which are impermissible. And this goes for a lot of Islamic teachings, right? Even things that we know as a sin. Lying, for example, is a sin. But we know that sometimes lying is allowed to save the life of another human being. So even that which is considered impermissible can sometimes be allowed, and sometimes that which is allowed, there is a buffer zone in which we have to investigate if we want to go into that area to see what is allowed from Islamic perspective and what is not allowed. In his book, A Code of Practice for Muslims in the West, which I'm sure many of us have, Ayatollah Sistani addresses the topic of music in depth. And I just want to share with us three different rulings on this area, what he mentions. The first thing he says is that, and this is rule number 535, or point 535, he says that music is an art that has spread far and wide during these days. Some varieties of this art are permissible, while others are forbidden. Therefore, it is permissible to listen to the first, while it is forbidden to listen to the latter. So first off, he's showing us that art, music as an art form, is something that obviously is common today. I mean, everywhere you go, you hear music, whether you like it or not. You go into the elevator, they have music playing. You go to the shopping center, there's music playing. You watch the news, there's music playing. Everything. You know, I think the only place where we don't have music is the mosque. And even that, if people leave their ringers on their cell phones on and they're praying, then even you get music in the mosque, unfortunately. And you go to the Haram in Mecca, you go for Ziyarah to Karbala, and unfortunately you hear the same music that you hear here, unfortunately, on people's phones. So definitely it has permeated every aspect of human society around the globe. But as the Sayyid mentioned, some forms of this art are permissible. And he says some are impermissible. So in the next statement, what does he say? He says music that is permissible, music that we can listen to, is that music which does not entail entertainment in gatherings held for that purpose. Forbidden music is the music that is suitable for entertainment and amusement gatherings. This is a bit of a mouthful. The definition maybe isn't completely clear. What do you mean, entertainment in gatherings held for that purpose? Well, we know, for example, if you were to go down many of the major roads in Edmonton on a Friday night, as right now, there would be certain venues on those streets where people are gathering for entertainment, where men and women are mingling together, where they are imbibing certain drinks which are not permissible, and they're listening to certain things which are not allowed. So those styles of music are definitely not allowed. If you hear that in a club, if you hear that, you know, in a setting where impermissible actions are taking place, where there is an illegal mixing of the genders, where things prohibited within Islam are happening, there's no doubt that that style of music is definitely forbidden. There's no two ways about it. You can't say, it's bringing me closer to God, so I'm listening to it. They have good lyrics, so I'm listening to it. No, if that music itself, and I'll go into a bit more detail next, but if that music is the style that is used in gatherings of entertainment and amusement, especially where impermissible acts are taking place, then that music is a impermissible style of music. Now, I know I'm being a bit cryptic in the way I'm talking, but I don't want to go into specifics or give you names, for example, but we have to take the general principle and work with it. It's just like anything in Islam. If you ask, as an example, about hijab, well, the sisters in Edmonton wear hijab in a particular way. But if you look at the women in Saudi, they wear hijab in a completely different way. You go to Pakistan or India, hijab is different. Afghanistan is different. Iran is different. Well, you say, well, what happened? Islam came with hijab. Yes, Islam gave us the word hijab and the demarcations of what hijab should be. But then every culture is allowed to interpret that and display it in their way, in their style, in their form. So the hijab of Afghanistan with the burqa, that wouldn't fly in North America. That wouldn't be something that we would tolerate here. Similar, the hijab of, let's say, Saudi, that would not be acceptable here. Or even within, let's say, an Eastern country like India or Pakistan. It would be foreign to their culture. So we don't say to the women, you have to conform to Arab hijab. No, you use the limits of hijab and you tailor your clothing to suit that. Similar is music. We're not going to say everything is haram, but we have the limitations the scholars give, and then we say, look, if your music falls within that criteria, then it's allowed. If it goes beyond it, whether it be music from Iran, and don't say, well, it's an Islamic Republic, so everything is halal. No, I have heard Western music being played in Iran, so it's not, you know, you can't say because it's done in Iran, it's permissible, or because it's done in Saudi, it's permissible, or because it's done in a so-called Muslim country, it's legitimized. No, lots of haram happen in Muslim countries. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality. And so we don't say because a certain country does something in a certain way. Now this is the Islamic understanding of that topic. Sayyid Sistani then goes on to further mention, when he defines this expression, that the music or the song that is suitable for entertainment and amusement gatherings,
He says it doesn't mean that that music or the tune amuses the heart or changes the mental state. He says there's nothing wrong with that. If you listen to halal music and you feel moved to do something, to, you know, do a positive change, not get up and dance, that's I don't mean that, that kind of a change. But you feel that you are in a mood to serve Islam. He says there's no wrong with that mental state of a change. He says the expression actually means that the person's listening to the music or the song's tune, especially if an expert in these matters would hear it, and they can distinguish that this tune is used in entertainment and amusement gatherings, or that it is similar to those tunes used therein, is where the problem lies. So sometimes people say, oh, that music is making you move, like not physically, but spiritually make you move, and it's very touching to the soul. That doesn't make it haram just because you have an emotional change in you. The challenge comes is where we have to understand that, is this style of music, is this, you know, composition that I'm listening to, and not only just hearing it. For example, I go shopping and music is playing. It's not haram for me to be there because I'm not listening to it. I'm hearing it playing in the background, but I'm not tapping my, you know, my feet to the beat of the music. I'm just going and doing my job. I have no choice but to hear that music at work, at school, in the elevator, in the shopping center, right? But when I have control over my environment, when I'm at home, I have control. When I have my MP3, my iPod, I have control over what's on that. When I have my car stereo, I have control over what I listen to. When I come to the centers, I have control of what I can do, what I can't do. And so those areas where we don't have control, obviously there's no sin upon us if that haram form of music is being played. But where I have control in my own personal life, with my family, with my own environment, that is where I have to ensure that I am following these regulations. And again, they're very, not maybe as clear as we would like them to be. Maybe we want a fatwa that this particular style or genre of music is allowed, but we won't get that. You can't go to your marja and say, can you listen to this for a few minutes and tell me, is it haram or halal? No, he'll say, you follow the guidelines, just like you can't go to the marja or to a scholar and say, can I eat this particular brand of halal meat? I saw it in the grocery store and it had a halal sticker. The job of the scholar is not to tell you what is haram and halal in terms of brand names. Rather, it's these are the rules. If this and this and this are met, then that meat is halal. If it's not there, then it's haram. So similar is music. We can't expect to go to a scholar and authority and say, listen to this song, watch this YouTube video and tell me, is this halal to listen to? If it doesn't fall into these categories, then if it's out of that, then we know it's halal. And obviously this is up to you and I. And if we want to twist the rulings, we could do that. We could make things which are haram halal very easily. But all of us have to realize at the end of the day that Allah knows what is in our hearts, right? We can twist and change the religion. And we could make the haram halal, which people have done when they ask the maraja questions. They will word the question in such a obscure fashion to get the answer that they're looking for, right? So we can do that. We could stand up and say, yeah, all of this is allowed. But you know what? We're only fooling ourselves. As Allah says in the Quran, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. You and I, we know better ourselves. We may try to delude ourselves. We may try to trick our own conscience and our soul into doing certain things that we know are haram. But you know what? The way that we are created as human beings, we have the power, the ability that Allah has given us to do that. But we have to realize on the day of judgment, we'll have to stand in front of Allah. And if we spent our life listening to the haram, looking at the haram, speaking the haram, we might have gotten away with it in this world for 30, 40, 50 years. But guess what? On the day of judgment, when the books are open, then Allah will let us know that this is what you did, and this is what I told you in the Quran, but yet you intentionally twisted my words to suit your own purpose. So in summary, we have these four criteria to go by. One, if the music itself is bad, so we know that the style of music is going to be heard in a place where haram is happening. As a majority, 99.5% of the music out there today is of that caliber, of the bad music that is heard in bad places, and the lyrics are bad, and you know that lyrics are what they are, right? Whether they talk about drugs, about alcohol, about sexuality, about, you know, using vulgarity, you know, denigrating women, you know, using bad language against women and all the musical styles, Satan worship, all of these things that are there. When that combination mixes together, that's a deadly combination. Because when the music is haram and the lyrics are bad, it is haram. But don't only think about it haram and halal, good, bad, black and white. Think about it, this has an impact on your soul. When you hear a musician talking about, you know, insulting women, calling them bad names, talking about the devil and worshiping the devil, this will have an impact on us, right? It's not, oh, it's just a tune I'm listening to. You know, it's good humor. It's nothing bad about, you know, people talking about gangsters and killing and, you know, drive-by shootings. No, these have an impact on us. And this is the whole industry, what it's about. The whole music industry is about these things, not just about an innocent song that's being played on the radio. No, they want to change and mold the character of individuals. And number two, we have where the music itself is bad, but the lyrics are good. So sometimes you may have these so-called Muslim musicians. You've heard of them, right? Muslim music, Islamic rap music, right? All of these terms that people use, Islamic rock, Islamic reggae. The music is definitely a problem, but the lyrics might be taking you to Allah. It's about Allah, it's about the messenger, about the Ahlul Bayt, about doing good to people. But the vehicle they're using is bad. It's like telling your friend at work, you know what? I want to convert you to Islam. Let's go to the bar and have a drink, and I'll help you. I'll talk to you about Islam. The message is good, but how are you getting the message across? Through an impermissible means. So when the music is bad, but the lyrics are good, that also falls into the forbidden category. Number three is where the music is good. So they're not using the prohibited styles of music. They're using the instruments, the style that is permissible in Islam, but the lyrics are bad. Again, that signals that there's a problem with it, because the lyrics are not taking us to the right direction. And so last but not least is where the music itself is good. It's wholesome, it's permissible from the scholarly point of view. The lyrics are not dragging us to sin, to debauchery, to evil, to, you know, anything ungodly. When that becomes the case, then that becomes halal. Now don't ask me what the definition is or what groups are halal. I won't give that to you. That's your own homework to do for tonight. But that is basically, in a nutshell, how we define what is the rule of music in Islam. Let me close just in about 2 or 3 minutes and just go through some points that we can learn from this particular verse. The first thing that we see is that the money and time and resources which are spent to fight against culture and religion and the truth, it has a long history associated to it. It's not only today that music is prevalent, that people use jingles on commercials to sell products. Even at the time of the Prophet, the people in the market, they would use musical instruments to attract the people. Even in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, we said it today, that the Prophet would be standing for the Salat and a trade caravan would come into Medina. They would start banging the drums and making music as a commercial, as a way to bring the people out of the mosque, and they left the Prophet standing alone. Literally, the Prophet was like him and a few other companions and Imam Ali were in the masjid praying, and everybody else was out there because the merchants had come to town. So music has been used for centuries to sell product. It's nothing new. It's been happening since the time of human beings probably were on the face of this earth. So it has a long history with it. Number two is where we see that whatever stands in opposition to logic and wisdom is in Islam considered a waste of effort, a waste of time. And this would only prevent you and I from reaching to human perfection. Engaging in lahw al-hadith, whatever is a waste of time, is that will draw us away from Allah, drawing us away from proximity to Allah, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's amazing that we'll go out and spend money. We'll spend on buying this music, or we download it illegally nowadays. But people spend money on downloading and buying music for money, but guidance from Allah comes for free. And so we miss the guidance for free and we take misguidance and we pay for it. Number three is there where we see that the tools which the forces use to push us away from the path of Allah, they're not based on logic or wisdom. Rather, Allah calls it lahwul hadith. It's just diversionary talk. All these musicians out there in Hollywood and Bollywood and Nollywood, all of these different industries, they're not bringing us logic to make us leave Islam. They're not saying Islam is a bad religion because of X, Y, and Z. Here's the proof. No, they just get us busy in entertainment and fun and pleasure to dissuade us from Islam. You know, that's what they do. It's not that they're using logical arguments to say all religion is bad, that Christianity is bad, that Judaism bad, that Buddhism is bad. No, they don't do that. They wouldn't do that because we wouldn't listen to them. So they hide their message in their medium, whether it be a movie or whether it be, you know, the next top 40 song and the next artist that's on the Billboard charts. They'll use these diversionary tactics to dissuade us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last but not least, that the Quran tells us that the sign of one who is willfully ignorant and obstinate, meaning that they don't want to listen to the truth, they're very set in their ways, is that they waste their money on the purchase of instruments of futility, which serve no purpose. Allah refers to these people as buying these instruments of lahwul hadith bighayri ilm. Right? They're doing it for no benefit at all. They're ignorant people who do this. Ignorant in the sense that they know this is a waste. Not that they don't know, but these people know what it is, and yet they still go towards that waste of time. And last but not least, we see that there is a close relationship in Islam between a person's actions and the punishment. Meaning that we say in English, the punishment fits the crime. Allah talks about those people who made fun of Allah's verses, لِيُذِلَّ النَّاسَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to misguide people from Allah's way. And so Allah says, if you make fun of my verses, He says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, they will have a humiliating punishment. Not a painful, it might be painful at one level as an adjective to describe that punishment, but it's going to be a humiliation, right? We don't know how that could be. Could it be in this world? Could it be also or only in the next world? But we know that Allah says that they will be humiliated in their punishment. And just as they made fun and mocked Allah's ayat, Allah will make fun and mock them. And this is a promise by Allah. So Allah's promises are truthful. And so we have to be aware and be careful of the punishments mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We close here, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll continue to see some of the outcomes of what happens when we engage in this. And also, I don't want to just leave on a sour note. Tomorrow we'll also go through a couple of tips and practical ways to get out of this rut. If we find ourselves listening to haram music, how do we get out of that? Inshallah, tomorrow we will go over a few of those points as well. For all of those who are perhaps in this state of listening to the haram, that how do we break free of the haram forces that are around us? We close and we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to continue to worship Him in this blessed month of Ramadan. We ask Allah to accept our long fast in these long days of month of Ramadan. We ask Allah to accept our minimal ibadat in the short nights of the month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah to give the thawab of this majlis tonight to all of the marhumeen from our community here tonight who are no longer with us. All of those family members of ours who have long since passed away, to the ulama who have left this world and the shuhada who have given their lives for the sake of Islam so that we can be here tonight. Let us recite one surah Fatiha, before that one loud salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.